Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. Folks, if you'd like to ask us a question on the show, give us a call. Our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd like to hear from you. So give us a call here on Alaska Gold Trails. Let's talk gold mining through the years along the Alaska Gold Trails. Before introducing today's guest, folks, we've got a couple of great announcements for you. Plus, of course, we want to do what we do here every Thursday afternoon at the beginning of Alaska Gold Trails, and that's, of course, have our contest. I have a great announcement here for you, and the question is, have you ever wondered how to tell one kind of mineral or rock from another? Well, it's easy to learn how in the Mining Extension Rock and Mineral Identification class that starts Monday, April 3rd. The class will meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening from 10 to 7 p.m. for 3 weeks. And if you want to learn where to find valuable minerals like gold, there's a basic prospecting class also beginning on Monday, April 3rd, that will last for 6 weeks. If you would like more information about these or other mining-related classes offered by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension Program, come by our office at 401 Duckring on the University of Alaska campus, or give us a call at 474-7702 or 456-2569. That's 474-7702 or 456-2569. Learning about rocks and minerals is an enjoyable adventure, and I would hope that you would come and join us. Another announcement that I have, of course, deals with the upcoming Placer Mining Conference, which will occur at the end of this month. And one of the events that will take place, of course, is the Gold Diggers Monte Carlo Ball. Now, this is going to be a festive event with great door prizes, a full saloon, and a casino where you can lose some of your hard-earned cash. And it's going to represent the late 1800s to the 1920s. There will be a Golden Days costume contest and just all kinds of fun. There will be dancing with the sandcastle. And if you would like to purchase tickets for the Gold Diggers Ball, they are available from any Alaska Woman in Mining member. And during the 11th Annual Placer Mining Conference at Alaska Land Civic Center as well. And if you'd like to have more information on the Monte Carlo Ball and, of course, the Placer Mining Conference, which will be coming up, you can give a call at 451-6650. And other number that you might want to call is 456-3967 for that information. Now, the question is, are you ready to do what we do? And concerning the Monte Carlo Ball, perhaps today's prize will be a little bit different. I think that instead of giving away the silver ingot, we'll give away a couple of free tickets to the Gold Diggers Ball. How would that be? So anybody interested in receiving a free ticket, two free tickets to the Gold Diggers Ball, all they have to do is answer this little quiz-type question. What we want to know today is the information that can be derived by phoning 488-6432. That's 488-6432. We want the information from that number, and we want to know who provides that service, where they are, and what they do. So give us a call if you have that information. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And while we're waiting for some phone calls to come in, we'd like to talk a little bit about one of the sponsors on Alaska Gold Trails, and that, of course, is Days Inn, located in downtown Anchorage. Now, Days Inn, whether you are traveling for business or pleasure, the Days Inn Anchorage can you can at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. The downtown Anchorage Days Inn Hotel offers 116 rooms, each decorated with furnishings and amenities you expect from the expensive lodging chains. With its convenient location, quality accommodations, and friendly staff, there is no better lodging choice in the city of Anchorage. And if you'd like to make reservations, you can call them at their toll-free number, 1-800-325-2525. That's 1-800-325-2525. A lot of two fives in that one. 1-800-325-2525. Or in Anchorage, 276-7226. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, that number is to Hector's Welding.
Okay, can you tell me what they have to offer there at Hector's Welding?
Oh, they have welding, of course.
Okay, tell me all about Hector's Welding.
Well, they specialize in, and lately they've been specializing in gold dredge material and helping out the miners and the little odds and ends that they need done for their different mines.
And what do they offer, any other kind of services?
Probably,
huh? Where are they located?
Right off the Richardson Highway.
Yeah, they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And for future information, people might like to know that they do much more than mining equipment. They also do welding and repair work and all kinds of equipment. And in addition to the mining equipment that you've just talked about, they also replace dozer blade liners and a whole host of other items, as well as they are the distributor for the gel logs here in the Fairbanks area or the interior of Alaska. And we don't want to forget that. And of course, like you said, Hector's Welding is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And their phone number is 488-6432. So if anybody would like to have more information about Hector's, give them a call out there at 488-6432. What is your name, by the way?
My name is Karm Singh. My first name is Karm, my last name is Singh.
Okay. I'll tell you what. What you do is stop up here at the KFAR studio in Washington Plaza and pick up your certificate, and we'll have your tickets for the Monte Carlo Ball over at Oxford Assaying and Refining.
Okay.
And that's located at 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967.
Okay.
Okay, and thank you very much for the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. My guest for this afternoon is Dr. Sharma from the Petroleum Development Laboratory at the University of Alaska. And Dr. Sharma, welcome to Alaska Gold Trail.
Thank you very much, Professor Madonna.
Well, I've been looking to have you on the show for a long time, and I think, first of all, maybe we should let the listening audience know a little bit about your background, where you were born, and how you grew up, and some of your past experiences prior to coming to the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
I will be delighted to discuss that.
What exactly, where were you born, Dr. Sharma?
I was born in Delhi, India, which is, Delhi is located in the northwestern part of India. I did my BS and graduation there, and after that I went to Switzerland to do my master's, which is called Diploma in Geological Engineering. And after that, I was very much interested in doing petroleum and geology, which America, of course, has the best to offer. So I came to University of Michigan and completed my PhD program there. After that, I worked for the oil company for about 2.5 years. And then in 1963, I joined the University of Alaska.
What oil company was that that you worked for?
I used to work for Sinclair Research, Sinclair Oil Company, which was subsequently in 1969 was bought by Arco.
And following that, then you came up to Alaska.
Yes, I came to Alaska in 1963. I joined the university with Institute of Marine Science, and I've worked for about a year and a half in Juneau. We used to have a coastal laboratory on Douglas Island, and in 1965, spring semester, I was called by the main campus here to teach courses. And after my arrival in 1965 in Fairbanks, of course, then I stayed and worked for Institute of Marine Science till 1968. Thereafter, I joined the Alaska Sea Grant Program, and I worked with the Alaska Sea Grant Program till 1984. In 1984, Chancellor O'Rourke requested me to start the Petroleum Development Laboratory Program, that's petroleum research, and he offered me the position of director, and I started the laboratory in 1984.
And tell us a little bit about the Sea Grant and how that operates.
As you know, there are land grant colleges and there are also Sea Grant colleges. And during 1981, Alaska was also granted as a college status. It is very important for the state of Alaska to have a Sea Grant program. As you know, Alaska has more coastline than whole of United States, lower 48 plus, including Hawaii. And also, the state of Alaska has much more continental shelf, and also it has got very, very fertile fishing grounds. The United States, state of Alaska offers one of the most prolific fishing grounds beside Peru and also off the coast of Norway.
And then following your time with them, you moved from the Sea Grant program to what section of it?
To the School of Mineral Engineering. The Petroleum Development Laboratory is under School of Mineral Engineering.
No, and since moving to the School of Mineral Engineering, what have you done specifically in the Petroleum Development Laboratory? You've created new laboratories and upgraded, and you've made a lot of improvements, haven't you?
Yes. Initially, we had two large rooms to start the Petroleum Development Laboratory. Now we have five large rooms, and we have a staff of three permanent faculty in the Petroleum Development Laboratory, and then we also have seven part-time, which work half-time with the Petroleum Development Laboratory. So we have also have 15 to 18 graduate students who are completing their master's degree with the Petroleum Development Laboratory program. And we provide stipend in the tune of somewhere about $16,000 a year for this master's candidate, which mm-hmm. is also funded by the Petroleum Development Laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what is the primary focus of this in linking the Petroleum Development Laboratory with the petroleum industry in the state of Alaska?
As you know, Professor Modena, that state of Alaska is presently providing one quarter of the total production of United States. The United States, in the United States, we are producing now less than 8 million barrels a day. We consume about between 16 and 17 million barrels a day, but the rest of the other 8 million barrels we have to import. Now, out of this 8 million domestically produced, state of Alaska is providing the nation with 2 million barrels a day, which is one quarter or 25% of the nation's production. So it is important that the state of Alaska should develop innovative means and production technique to develop these resources. Now, the main four objectives for the Petroleum Development Laboratories are, first, to assist the state and the industry to develop innovative new techniques to maximize the recovery from the existing producing field, like Kuparuk River Field and Prudhoe Bay Field, Minne Point, and Endicott. Also, we would like to do research and develop new techniques to produce oil from known resources like Wetzak, Ugnu field, and there are other larger fields. We also would like to offer the Alaskans the opportunity to study petroleum and develop their profession and serve and live in the state of Alaska. We also would like to establish a center of information and research for the Alaskan field in the state of Alaska. So these are primarily our objectives of the Petroleum Development Laboratory.
We want to come back, Dr. Sharma, just after a couple of messages here, and I want to talk a little bit more about the individual oil fields and how they fall in terms of size with relation to one another. And some other comments that we'd like to take a look at, of course, is the dollar amount that is flowing through that pipeline each day, each hour, each minute of every day. So we'll be right back, and we'd like to advise the listening audience that if you have a question for Dr. Sharma regarding black gold, you can give us a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255.
Well, the Easter Bunny and all his helpers are working overtime to treat your sweet tooth at the cookie jar. They're wrapping up lots of tasty goodness to go in their special Easter cookie basket, featuring a dozen fresh cookie jar cookies and scrumptious Easter chocolate, all in a white wicker basket, beautifully wrapped with pastel cellophane and a bow. Yours to give or to enjoy for one affordable price. And that does include delivery. So hop on down today for your Easter cookie basket at the cookie jar in the Washington Plaza.
Have you ever wondered where the miners sell their gold? I'm sure that everybody knows they sell it at the precious metals people. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver. Listen to this, folks. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. In addition to that, they have the American Eagles, which are now available in four sizes to choose from, starting at around $65 and varying, of course, with the price of gold. And that is for the 1/10 ounce coin. Add a 14 karat gold bezel with a chain and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. And speaking about the perfect gifts for those someone specials in your life, perhaps a unique gold nugget from Oxford Assaying and Refining with a loop and a chain might just be the answer to that special gift occasion. Keeping in mind now that no nugget, no naturally occurring nugget is the same. So each one would be unique. So if you're looking for a special gift for that special person in your life, think about Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metal people. You can give them a call at 456-3967. They're located at 208 Wendell Street. And if you'd like to know the price of gold, silver, and platinum, they have a special hotline for your information, and that is 452-7858 for the daily quote on gold, silver, and platinum. Once again, that's 452-7858. And that's your precious metals people located at 208 Wendell Street right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Dr. Sharma, we'd like to have an idea of the different oil fields that exist here in the state that are currently in production, their location in terms of onshore, offshore, and perhaps give us a little information regarding the potential reserves and their location regarding offshore and onshore, and perhaps compare these reserves with one another.
We have basically two categories of oil fields. One are very, very large, which we call supergiant oil fields. And supergiant oil fields, very good example is the Prudhoe Bay field. Prudhoe Bay field has somewhere about 24 billion barrels of oil in place. Now, that is being produced by injection of water. So we estimate that about 50% of the oil will be recovered by injecting water and gas. So we'll be recovering somewhere about 11 to 12 billion barrels of oil from Prudhoe Bay. Now, the Petroleum Development Laboratory and as well as the oil companies are trying to find new ways to squeeze more oil out of there. That means whatever is left, which will amount to about 12 billion barrels of oil. Then another supergiant field we have is Kuparuk River field, which is the second largest field. And in that, we have somewhere about 5 billion barrels of oil. However, the recovery is not going to be as good as in the Prudhoe Bay field. On top of Kuparuk River field, we have another supergiant field, which is called Wetsack field. And in Wetsack, we estimate somewhere about 25 billion barrels of oil in place. That means Wetsack has 1 billion more than Prudhoe Bay. However, Wetsack is very shallow, and the oil is very thick, so the recovery will be much, much lower. However, we need to find and design new ways to recover oil from Wetsack. Now, on top of Wetsack, there is another field which is called Ugnu Sands. And I'm sure in last night's newspaper you must have read that ARCO and British Petroleum are looking, going to drill a well, and they are trying to find ways to recover oil from Ugnu to replace the depletion production in Prudhoe Bay. So these four fields are called giant, supergiant fields. Beside that, we have number of smaller fields. By the way, all these fields are onshore. They belong to the people of the state of Alaska. The oil which come out from there is truly belongs to the people of the state of Alaska. The state acts as an administrator on behalf of the people of the state of Alaska. In reality, as long as the oil is underground, it virtually belongs to the people of the state of Alaska. After the oil company produce it, when it comes to the surface, then it belongs to the oil company. Besides that, we have numerous smaller fields. Below Prudhoe Bay, there is another small field which is called Lisburn. Then we have Endicott, which British Petroleum started, I think about 7-8 months ago, which is the only offshore field, by the way. And then there is Nyacook, which is also operated by British Petroleum, and that's also offshore, northwest of Prudhoe Bay, that they would like to start, provided the permit is given for causeways and things like that. Then we have Seal Island, Duck Island, and on the northwest, very close to the Canadian boundary, we also have a very large Thompson field, which has a gas and also condensate. We also have some gas fields along that area on the western part of the Prudhoe Bay. Then we also have some oil discovery in Gwydir Bay, and there are other numerous. Of course, we also have Milne Point, which has about 300 to 500 million barrels of oil.
Geographically, where are all these situated?
They are all situated in like Milne Point, Lisburn, Kuparuk. They're all located very close to Prudhoe Bay, slightly west of Prudhoe Bay.
Mm-hmm. And we have other potential oil fields here too, and some that have been developed, that are developed at this point and producing.
Yes, right now we have production coming out from Endicott and Lisburn, Kuparuk River, and Prudhoe Bay. Basically, those are the four fields.
And Cook Inlet?
And Cook Inlet, of course.
Okay. Now, there was some drilling down by Yakutat being performed here probably 10 years ago. Are they still continuing research down there? Are they finished with that project?
As you know, the first discovery in Alaska was near Yakutat in our early 20s. And there were numerous wells drilled, shallow wells drilled. And as a matter of fact, there was a refinery built there too. But later on, they were all abandoned. And yes, in early 70, the first thrust oil company had the thrust was in Southeast Alaska. They paid quite a lot of money on offshore areas. They drilled 13 wells. Of course, there was no reservoir rock. The rocks were very tight, and they abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is always the potential of looking into it, and hopefully someday they will find. I am not quite aware of it, what the status is, whether the state is issuing leases and oil companies are interested in that area or not.
Mm-hmm. Right now you've identified two areas that seem to be problem areas. One that we we have looked into and evaluated the reserves in several areas, and we find, number one, that we can only get about 50% of the oil within the reserve out at this time, and secondly, we talk about something like the Yakutat oil, which is very, very tight rock. Now, are there other kinds of things that would prohibit oil extraction besides these two?
Well, basically, the oil industry has a couple of problems. Number one, their interest is as much as the Petroleum Development Laboratory to assist the state to recover maximum amount of oil from a field. That is one focus, number one. Number two, that this recovery has to be an economical way. As you know, that a person who produces, or the oil company produces oil in lower 48, it's so close to the market that the producer can demand almost the current going price, which is about $19 to $20 dollars a barrel. However, we being so far away from the market, we cannot demand that money because we have to pay for the cost for the transportation through the pipeline, and then furthermore, we have to pay for the cost of transportation from Valdez to either on the West Coast or to Gulf of Mexico. So that has to be reduced, and that means the production cost cannot be calculated on the basis of the oil prices lower down south. We have to deduct the transportation cost. In order to do that, we have to reduce the cost of recovering oil. That means we have to have new unique ways. Now the oil companies know that they can, Prudhoe Bay is, by the way, is one of the very, very nice reservoir that we can extract about 50% of the oil out of it. Generally you cannot do that because the oil is in a very minute pore space in the rocks and it is very difficult to flush out. So from the Prudhoe Bay we will be able to extract almost 50%, but in Kuparuk and Wesak we will not be able to get 50% of oil in place.
Is that because the rock is tighter?
No, the oil is heavier, and the composition of rock is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Wesak, it is not tighter. It has a lot more porosity, pore space. Mm-hmm. However, the rock is very unconsolidated. It's friable.
Mm-hmm.
It is not well cemented.
Mm-hmm.
So we have problem because the sand will move along with the oil, and it will clog up the well. And we have production problems and other kind of problem. Furthermore, the oil is heavier. Mm-hmm. When the oil becomes very heavy, it does not move.
Mm-hmm.
And also that Kuparuk and Wesak are shallower. They are closer to the permafrost. So the temperature also makes it more viscous.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, you put in Fairbanks, when you are during the winter, when you put your motor oil into your car, and you know, it becomes very thick because it is cold.
Mm-hmm.
So warm oil moves much faster.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we are doing is, and the oil companies are looking at it, that they could probably use the gas which is available, abundance of gas on the North Slope. They could probably use this gas to squeeze more oil out of Prudhoe Bay, and perhaps they can use this gas to squeeze more oil from Kuparuk River as well as from Wesak. Or they can use some of this gas to heat up the oil in Wesak so that it becomes more mobile and it can move into the well and can produce. However, one has to look at whether it is economical with the current oil prices or the future oil prices. You have to understand that the oil business is a very capital-intensive business. The oil companies have to put lots of money. And they are not willing to put lots of money unless they see that they have the return and they can make a profit on their investment. So it is, the key to the success of developing petroleum resources in Alaska is to do a lot of research, understand what's going on in there, and then design production methods.
That's where PDL comes in.
Precisely. Right. That's what we're doing.
You're looking at then problems with tight rock, viscosity, using different kinds of gas and water to obtain or extract more oil out of these reserves.
Precisely.
And we, you know, we're looking, it seems like a tremendous amount of oil being left down in the hole when you talk about 50% and you're talking about 25 billion barrels and leaving half of it down in the ground.
You are absolutely correct. We are talking about enormous amount of oil. We're not talking about a small field. We're talking of millions and billions of barrels of oil.
I want to get back and talk to you, and I think the public would be interested in hearing more about some of the projects that the School of Mineral Engineering Petroleum Development Laboratory has going on, and some idea thoughts you might have on promoting a larger quantity of extraction out of these particular wells, just right after these messages.
A special gift for any time when words are not enough. A fresh bouquet to make someone's day. Give the gift that everyone loves.
Santina's Flowers and Gifts, the place for Easter fun with Teleflora's Tulip Cart Bouquet. This hand-painted flower cart is loaded with fresh spring flowers. For the more sophisticated look, try the new Boutique Basket Bouquet with lovely spring flowers and a crisp white rattan and wicker basket with a pastel floral bowl. Santina's Flowers and Gifts also has priceless fine chocolates, quality chocolates since 1913. Custom Easter baskets are a Santina specialty. Santina's Flowers and Gifts, 103 3rd Street and Grail, for that special gift for the special people in your life.
When you say it with flowers, say it with ours.
Santina's Flowers.
When you want to say it with flowers, say it with ours.
I want to talk a little bit about Ravi Ginther and Tip Top Chevrolet, located at 1916 South Cushman. You know, the Ginther family has been in the business of selling Chevrolets and Buicks for 32 years. It has been operated by three generations of Ginthers, as a matter of fact, and right now, Ravi Ginther is the general manager. Tip Top has a very high level of repeat business from satisfied customers. They have built up a large and loyal customer base over the years. One of the contributing factors to their success is the low employee turnover in all their departments. And they have four major departments that we like to talk about in addition to the new car sales. We have the used car sales, the service, and the body shop. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about the sales manager, Jim Brown. Jim Brown's philosophy is to listen to the customer, and that means that he tries to put together a package that will be beneficial to the customer rather than just trying to sell them the hottest item on the market. In the used car department, the manager is Elmer Osbloom, and he's been with Tip Top 6 years. And on his staff, he has two salespeople, Jim Lidster and Scotty Casper. Each has been with Tip Top for 7 years. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the service department. The service manager is Randy Meadows, and Randy has 6 years' experience at Tip Top service department and has been service manager for 2.5 years. And we want to talk for a moment about the body shop manager, and that's Randy Mayhew. Randy has been with Tip Top Chevrolet Buick for 6 years. So you can see the Tip Top Chevrolet has everything you need, and from new cars right down to the service on those new cars. So stop over, talk to one of the chaps at Tip Top about new cars, used cars, service, and body work. And while you're over there, stop by and say hello to Robbie Ginther and tell him that you heard about him right here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna. Another one of our sponsors here on Alaska Gold Trails, I see, you know, every time I look at the back of the phone telephone directory, Fairbanks telephone directory, I see B&L Pawn Shop. And on the back of the directory there, they've got a great ad, a color photo of McKinley Park taken by Killer over there. And you got to remember, Killer, she's quite a gal. She says that they've got dynamite deals, and if you need a grub steak, come on over, because they take consignment goods, and if they don't sell them, you don't pay any commission. In addition to that, they loan, they buy, they sell, they trade, they deal. They've got cameras, stereos, gold, TV, video, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, and car stereos, just to name a few of the items that you can find at B&L Pawn Shop. Their phone number is 452-3063 or 452-6491. Location, 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Stop by, tell Killer you heard about their place right here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna, and she's going to sweeten any deal that you can make over there. So stop by and say hello. Sharma, we were talking about the oil reserves that we have here in the state of Alaska, and I'd like to have the listening audience know that if they'd like to give you a call and ask you a question about the black gold industry or anything about mining in Alaska, they can give us a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd love to hear from you folks, so give us a call. Sharma, we talked about the different characteristics of the gold field. What is PDL doing? What kind of research are they doing to contribute to the oil industry here in the state of Alaska?
Basically, what we are doing is looking forward, say, 5 years to 10 years in the future. We believe that production from Prudhoe Bay is going to decline this year or at the latest next year. And as the production decline, the revenue for the state's going to decline. And we must find some replacement for the loss of production from Prudhoe Bay. So in 3-4 years hence, there will be a need of production from other fields to fill up the pipeline or to for the state to maintain the current level of revenue. It is my feeling that in about 5-6 years from now, the oil prices will increase dramatically because the production in the western oil producing countries will decrease. We will deplete our resources. And we will be relying more and more on OPEC countries, Middle East, to provide our needs. However, the state of Alaska would not have oil to sell at that price because the Prudhoe Bay will be on decline. And to a certain extent, Milne Point will take up the slack, but it is not that much. So we should find means and ways to develop our undeveloped known resources, such as Wetzlake. So Wetzlake, we have been contributing a lot of our effort to understand Wetzlake and what will it take to develop Wetzlake. At the moment, we have 3 or 4 different projects going on for Wetzlake. We are injecting gas into it to make the oil more mobile. We are injecting steam into Wetzlake and see how the oil will behave. We are also injecting steam with carbon dioxide because carbon dioxide makes the oil swell and therefore it makes it easier to move towards the well in production. We are also injecting some other solvent to move that oil. We are also doing some economic studies, and that's what we're doing with the Wetzlake. Another project in Wetzlake which shows a great promise is injection of liquid gas, mixture of liquid gas and gas, methane gas, natural gas, into Wetzlake and make the gas miscible in the oil, thereby making the oil move. That shows a great potential. On the other hand, we are also concerned about the production from Prudhoe Bay, because as more and more gas is being injected in Prudhoe Bay, there is an element of precipitation of asphaltene. Asphaltene is a amorphous rock type stuff. So if too much of asphaltene precipitates in the reservoir, then it's going to clog up the reservoir. And thereby, it will reduce the chances of recovering more oil from the Pudu Bay. We are very much concerned about that. So we are studying this phenomena of precipitation.
Are you looking at ways to put asphaltene back into solution then?
Yes. We are trying to find out under what pressure temperature conditions asphaltene precipitates and where will it precipitate and what area of the reservoir it's going to precipitate, whether it's going to hinder further recovery or not.
Mm-hmm.
And another project we are working right now, what we call is relative permeability.
Mm-hmm.
As you know that in Pudu Bay, they are pumping water to replace the oil. However, when you are moving water and oil, they move at different rates in the pore space. So we are studying as to when we pump the water, as to know whether water is moving much faster or the oil is moving much faster in the reservoir. So that's very critical. Otherwise, if we have certain conditions that if we inject the water and only water moves, then we are really not gaining any oil production. So we are conducting some experiments to know as to what happens with certain amount of water and certain amount of oil in Pudu Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing that kind of study. Also, the third part of the study is that we are making a inventory of all the reservoir rocks and how much oil is there, and so that in what form and shape is there, what kind of oil it is, and how much of it is there. We are also doing that study.
Mm-hmm. Once this oil comes out of the ground, it enters the pipeline.
Once it comes out of the ground, first they take the gas out of it, and then they separate the water out of it, and then bring it at the pressure of the pipeline, and then send it to the pipeline.
What's the temperature of that oil when it comes out of the ground?
It is, depending, what depth it is coming, but on an average, I believe it's about 160 degrees.
160 degrees.
Yeah. And if you take the Kuparuk River, then it's a little colder.
Mm-hmm. And so it's running through the pipeline at what temperature?
It's about that temperature.
About that temperature. Yeah. And we're running how many barrels of crude through the
pipeline? We are running about 2 million barrels a day. It fluctuates between 1.9 to 2, slightly over 2 million barrels a day.
If I was to go up to the pipeline, to the pipe,
yes,
put my hand on it,
yes,
for, and time myself, 60 seconds,
mm-hmm.
1 minute,
mm-hmm.
how many dollars would pass by my hand?
Let me calculate this. Today, the price of crude is, West Texas, Texas crude is about $20 a barrel. Let's take that price. You are pumping 2 million barrels a day. So that is $40 million is going within 24 hours. So we divide that by 24 hours. So we get about 3 million dollars per hour, and then you divide that by another 60. So it will be about $21,000-$22,000 per minute.
Per minute?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Of oil, yes.
That brings it down to earth, huh? We know what's going through the pipeline per minute.
Yes.
Got a good idea on that.
Yes.
Tell us a little quickly. Tell us about the students there at the PDL in the petroleum department at the University of Alaska. Last year, didn't they make some headlines nationally?
Yes. There is a national student paper contest with the Society of Petroleum Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the regional meeting in California, three of our students entered that contest. One undergraduate student, two master's students, and since we do not have a PhD program, so there was no PhD candidate. And our student went down to California and they competed against the West Coast, that is Mexico, New Mexico, Southern University of Southern California, Standard Stanford University, Berkeley, and some other universities in the region. And I'm glad to tell you that under the undergraduate category, our student won the first prize. And on the master's category, both of our students won first and second prize.
So it was a clean sweep.
It was a clean sweep, yes.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes.
Tell us about, I think one thing that the listening audience would like to know is the job market. Do you place your students? How well do we place our students from the University of Alaska out of the petroleum department?
The record is very, very good. Almost 90% of our students get oil industry job or other jobs, or they go for a PhD degree. We have placed students in the lower 48 with oil companies, in Alaska, in foreign countries. So our students go almost everywhere, and they perform very, very well.
What do you see? We've got a good placement record. What do you see in terms of the future regarding, could you place more students today? If you had more students in the petroleum department there graduating each year, could you place more students?
I believe so, yes. Let me put it this way, that on an average, if you look at the nationwide, the demand for petroleum engineers every year is about 900 to 1,000. And this is generated basically through attrition. There is no growth, no nothing. And now let's look at the state of Alaska. We have two major companies, British Petroleum and ARCO Alaska Incorporated. I understand that ARCO basically hires about 40 students, near about 40 students every year. They recruit 40 students. So I would presume that British Petroleum, which is of the same size, probably also need about 40 new recruits every year. So right here, the major oil companies require about 80, and I would say a couple of them in Conoco when they start their Milne Point production. And of course, we have Shell Western. They will be now expanding their exploration in the Chukchi Sea. And there are other oil companies, Shell Western, Unocal, and of course, they also hire our students from time to time. So I would say this Alaska itself should need about 100 students a year.
So we're looking at the future for an increase in, we could put more students to work. We've got, the future looks bright, so anybody interested in the petroleum industry might start looking right now for those jobs that will be opening up in the future. Is that right?
That is correct.
Let me give one message here. I want to talk just quickly about Gabe's Truck and Auto. And whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. Well, Dr. Sharma, I certainly appreciate you joining me here on Alaska Gold Trails. I'm very happy to learn that people out there who are interested in a career in the petroleum industry can look forward to a bright future. And if they'd like to contact you, where would they phone you?
They could call us at 474-7734. That's the Department of Petroleum Engineering in the School of Mineral Engineering at the university.
Dr. Sharma, thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails.
My pleasure.
Once again, folks, the time has slipped away. Next week's guest is Cliff Hayden. He'll be back. We're going to try to get him from Petersburg to Fairbanks. Until then, folks, this is Jim Adon on Alaska Gold Trail. Until next week, happy prospecting. You're listening to KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska.
News, I'm Doug Limerick. It's all over in Littleton, Colorado, a suburb of Denver. Earlier today, a man armed with an automatic weapon took a young woman hostage. He then killed her and her mother. He then raped another woman, took off in a car, wrecked it, and fled on foot in an area south of Denver. There was a massive manhunt. Thousands of school kids were not allowed to go outside because of fears the gunman may be hiding nearby. Then, about an hour ago, the gunman was located inside a house. There was a shootout. Two police officers were wounded. More from ABC's Kelly Hansborough in Denver.
When police entered this particular townhome, the owner of the townhouse, who had been held hostage by the suspect, started shouting at police, "He shot himself, he shot himself." They went upstairs to the upper floors of the townhome. They found the suspect with a gunshot wound to the head.
The suspect has been identified as Eugene Thompson, who had reportedly been in a drug rehab center. He is listed in critical condition. Another person, an 18-year-old boy, was also shot, and he's also in critical condition. Again, that crime spree happened in and around Littleton, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. More news after this.
Guess what's missing from these new special request soups from Campbell's? Bean with bacon.
Mmm, I give up.
Vegetable beef. Mmm, can't tell. And chicken with rice.
Mmm, got me.
So what's missing? A third of the salt. Campbell's Special Request soups have one-third less salt than our regular soups. Now in 8 varieties that make you feel good.
That's what Campbell's soups are, good.
Hardware fans, here's great news. Now Sears has great low prices every single day throughout the store. We've lowered prices on over 8,000 items in the hardware store alone. And this week we're celebrating with this fantastic buy, a 250-piece Craftsman Mechanics tool set with three drive sizes and standard and metric sockets for $199.99 while quantities last. Hurry to America's largest hardware store, Sears.
Your money's worth and a whole lot more.
Good news for Randall Adams, a man who was recently released from prison after serving a dozen years for the slaying of a Dallas policeman. Prosecutors have decided not to retry him. Adams was freed after a judge ruled he had not gotten a fair trial that followed the questioning of Adams' guilt by the movie The Thin Blue Line. Lots been said lately about all the homicides in the nation's capital. Washington, D.C. is now being called the nation's murder capital because of all the drug-related killings. Mayor Marion Barry spoke to the National Press Club in Washington today. Here's what he said about all the headlines about the city's soaring murder rate.
Not only is Washington safe, but business is booming. Life is going on. A healthy economy. Lowest unemployment rate in the last 18 years. Outside of the killings, one of the lowest crime rates in the country.
Mayor Barry's been under a lot of pressure, to say the least, because of all the drug-related murders. He says most of them have occurred in just a few sections of Washington, D.C. Members of Congress have gone home for Easter, but before the House left, it passed a bill that would increase the minimum wage to $4.55 an hour with a two-month training wage for new workers. President Bush has made it clear that he favors $4.25 an hour with a six-month-long training wage. Next stop for the minimum wage legislation, the Senate. The Oliver North Iran-Contra trial has recessed until next Tuesday. They're out for Easter. North's former secretary, Fawn Hall, was on the witness stand again today, and she got so upset that she cried. She says she totally supports Oliver North and hopes he's found innocent of all charges leveled against him. They talked about steroids in Capitol Hill today, a congressional subcommittee. Track star Carl Lewis told the investigators that athletes ought to be randomly tested for steroids. He says he'd guessed that at least 10 athletes who won Olympic medals in Seoul were using steroids. Ben Johnson, of course, was a sprinter who was stripped of his gold medal because of steroid use. Now, Johnson's doctor says steroid use is rampant throughout sports, that steroids should be legalized. Wall Street, the Dow Jones closing down 20 points at 2243. This is ABC News.
I'm Henry Block of H&R Block. Many Americans are not aware that this year you can actually get money back without filing a tax return. It's not explained in your instruction booklet, and you won't read about it in any tax guide. Why hasn't the government told you about this? They had nothing to do with it. It's from Subaru.
Get up to $1,500 back or 4.9 APR financing from Subaru on selected models and for specified terms through May 2nd at participating dealers.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
It's spring cleanup time at Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories. The folks at Universal Car Wash say thank you, Fairbanks, for making their new business a splashing success. Bring in your car or truck now and find out how you'll get every sixth car wash free. Pick up a coupon which entitles you to $5 off your next car wash. Put pride in your ride with a spring cleanup at Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories, 707 Old Steese Highway in the Solar Video Building across from Jeffries. Call 456-2720 for your appointment.
Problem, you're young, you've never bought a car before, no credit? Solution, Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury.
Hey, I remember when I was young and first getting started, it was tough to get financing for a new car. No major credit, nobody wanted to finance me. Well, now we have a way for the first-time new car or truck buyer to establish credit for the rest of their lives and drive home in one of the best-built American vehicles made today and possibly do it with no down payment out of their own pocket. The cars are here. The program is simple. If it sounds good to you, what are you waiting for? See us right now, right here at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury. See you here.
Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. The NCAA starts their final Sweet 16 tournament party tonight with four regional semifinal games. In the Southeast Regionals in Lexington, Kentucky, the Virginia Cavaliers take on the Oklahoma Sooners. Then Michigan goes up against North Carolina. Out west in Denver, the matchups, Seton Hall in Indiana, UNLV, and top-ranked Arizona. When the Cavaliers meet the Oklahoma Sooners tonight, Virginia coach Terry Holland knows his team will have its work cut out against the high-scoring Sooners.
You certainly have to be concerned, number one, about being able to get the ball up against their full-court press and be able to get a good shot against their pressure. I think their defense tends to take easy shots away inside, as well as certainly the possibility of them stealing the ball as you try to run offense. So those are critical factors for us.
UNLV takes on the top-ranked Wildcats. The Wildcats beat the running Rebels of Jerry Tarkanian earlier in the season, 86-75. That was back in December. No announcement expected today regarding the allegations tying Cincinnati Reds manager Pete Rose to gambling. Johnny Bench is one of Pete's former teammates with the Reds and knows what Rose must be going through.
I think the one thing that really happens here for Pete, who loves to go to the horse track, and I think that's been his passion, his mind has been golf, but for Pete to have to sit through all of this, it's almost like death through, by injection. He's just having to suffer a slow death as he goes through it, and if any one person can endure it, it would be Pete Rose.
The NFL owners continue their meetings in Palm Desert, California today. Once again, voted for the continued use of the instant replay system for another season. The vote, 24-4, in favor of it. Two-time All-Pro defensive end Bruce Smith has been given an offer sheet by the Denver Broncos. It's for a reported $7.5 million over 5 years. Now, Smith's old club, the Buffalo Bills, now have a week to match Denver's offer. Or they got a couple of first-round draft choices under the old free agent rules, which requires compensation and right a free refusal. The Detroit Tigers have traded right-hander Eric King to the Chicago White Sox in a series of three separate deals with three teams. The Tigers got outfielder Ken Williams.